Our reading this morning is from Matthew, again, the continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, this section dealing with what they call the reversals. Jesus in Matthew does a number of reversals. He says, "You have heard it said in the past such and such, but I say to you this." And what is happening is he's offering something that goes beyond Judaism, beyond the thinking of his own temple and the worship at the time, but also the culture, because he's suggesting things that diametrically cuts across some of the real heart of the tenuous thinking of some of the early tribes and their tribalism, but also in their dislike of one another, which is normal when you have people living together. Isn't that true? Yeah, it's always there. But this is the one that deals with somehow dealing differently out of love instead of vengefulness and out of compassion and justice instead of being judgmental. This from chapter 5. "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous as well. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you only greet your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. As I said, this is Jesus overturning some of the long-standing traditions and ideas of Judaism. The first part deals with what was called the Law of Lamech. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth is really not as bad as the Law of Lamech, which says for every injury that you get, you are allowed to give two back. So it's two for one. So Jesus is saying, you know that old law where two for one is the way to go? You've settled on one for one, and that's not good enough. What I'm saying to you is don't hurt and strike back in vengeance on your enemy. Instead, pray for your enemy. Which is very difficult for us to kind of swallow sometimes. We'll talk a little bit more about enemies. But he goes on to say something else. If somebody strikes you on the cheek, I think I explained this before, turn your other cheek. Basically, one of the things that was very operative in the time of Jesus was that the Romans had the freedom to slap people if they thought that they deserved a slap. It was part of their being in control. No smiles about children now. But you could slap somebody because he was violating something, or her. Most times it was the women that got slapped. But Jesus is saying if somebody slaps you, what you want to do is don't give in to that. What you want to do is let them slap the other cheek as well, because what you're doing is holding up a mirror to the person who's doing the slapping to say, do you see what you're doing and who you really are? As opposed to destroying me, you're destroying yourself. And the same thing is true about a coat. Somebody wants your coat, give me your cloak as well. Again, Romans were free to take anything they wanted from the peasants of various tribes. And so they had a long-standing thing that you would fight back and fight for the things that were yours. And Jesus says, really, when that happens to you, give them your cloak, give them everything they want, because what you're doing is not allowing them to humiliate you, but you're reflecting back on them who they really are, what you really are doing to another human being. And the same thing with walking a mile. It was very common that the Roman soldiers particularly, would have people carrying their baggage and taking their load because they didn't want to carry it themselves, and they had pulled up people. Remember Barabbas during the Passion of Jesus is called forth to carry the cross of Jesus. Well, that's a typically Roman thing. And here you have Jesus saying, when that happens to you, go the extra mile, because by going further than they demanded of you, you're saying you're bigger than they are, and you have much more respect for them, even though they have no respect for you. And so there's reversals taking place as far as the law goes. When you get down to loving your neighbor, and Jesus says, you know, there are lots of ways of loving your neighbor, but I'm saying to you, love your enemies is much more important. Because as he points out, anybody can love their neighbor. Anybody can love the people who love them. But what do we do with the overall problem of the enemy? What do we do with the people who persecute? How are we supposed to respond? Well, the normal thing to do is to lash out, to somehow retaliate. And certainly when you look at the typical breakdown of who enemies are, when you talk about sociology or talk about psychology, it kind of falls into several categories. One of them is the national political group. We all have enemies in a national political group. You know yourself, if you're one party, you belong to one party, especially in these days, then something's wrong with the other party. And we tend to cast things on each other. You know, what's happening in the news, it happens all over the place. It's become a part of our culture almost, which is a sad thing. But what's the response to that? How do we deal with that kind of animosity? I don't have the answer. Don't look at me. But I think the answer is something more than casting aspersions back. There's got to be a better way to help people become more respectful of humanity and of one another than to slap back or to condemn back or to do those negative kinds of things. And as Christian people, I think one of the hardest things we have to do, and Jesus says that at the end, be perfect like your heavenly Father. Well, we can't be perfect. But we certainly can reach down to a place that's much bigger. Reach down somewhere inside of ourselves where, when all is said and done, we really do have respect for other people because they're people. And learning to live with each other and to talk with each other and to accept one another has probably been no more important ever in the world than right now. Because it's an infestation that we have of hate and anger. And it's not going to go away, not easily. He moves on if you go to the next category. The next category is religious groups. Do we have an enemy among us in religion? Right now, the biggest one is ISIS, or ISIL, whatever you want to call them. That seems to be dominating an awful lot of the attention of the world. But let us not forget to go down a few miles down into Africa. There's religious persecution been going on there for years. Christians are being butchered by tribesmen who believe that they're the devil. It's not just relegated to ISIS. But in similar fashion, that very same kind of distance, that same kind of antagonism exist even among Christian denominations. There are some people who refuse to accept Judaism as legitimate, never mind Islam. There are people in our country who hold very strong negative feelings and behaviors. They foster behaviors to destroy these other people with whom they have probably not too much knowledge and not too much interaction, but because they represent something stuck in their heads or stuck in their DNA because of where they came from or how they're reared, they continue these kinds of things. The sad thing is, if you read the papers, as much as I don't like to, we read the papers. You need to find an article from time to time about what we are calling bullying in schools today. And some of the bullying in schools today in various parts of our country have more to do with religious difference and intolerance than it has to do with kids trying to figure out their way and boundary setting and all the rest of it. It's indicative that there's a real problem there. And the other category where we have enemies is individual. And an individual, that could be an individual with whom we have to relate, could be somebody at work, whatever. But I can't help but think of Pat House today, the young man who committed suicide. He had an enemy within himself and lived it out very overtly because he couldn't deal with some of the things he was forced to deal with growing up. And somehow finding a place when you're feeling that negative about yourself has got to be overwhelming. I know his mom said he struggled with it every day of his life. 20 years of struggle and fighting himself. And if you've ever worked with a person who was suicidal or who went through the process getting there, I did a couple of times. It's a very, very difficult situation because it's very hard to break through something that is so ingrained in the person's personality. A lot of it may be brain, a lot of it may be chemical, a lot of it may be circumstance or event. But whatever it is, it's the enemy within. And on another note, many of us have ourselves as enemies when we don't accept part of ourselves. If you've ever struggled with something in your life that has to do with your personality or with your difficulty in relationships or history, some of the things that happened, or your education or your experience growing up in one way or another that you never really dealt with, there may be an enemy right within us. And how do we treat the enemy? You can devastate it, destroy it, ignore it, bury it, somehow deny it. All those possibilities. And what Jesus has the gall to say at the end of this gospel passage, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm in no position to say that perfectly, I got this whole thing together, and I really am the person Jesus calls me to be. However, I don't think that's what he intended. I think in the complete reversal of being negative and warring and judgmental and vengeful, he offers the possibility that if you take a deep breath in your own life, if you pause and go back to really your center, that's the place where you understand who you are, who you have become, how you got here, and what gifts you have to bring to the world, which is not easy when you're angry, which is why next week we're going to talk about anger. It's not easy. But if you can take a step back and go into that place as a Christian person, to say, I know that this is not the end and I don't have the answer, but I am open to whatever will help me to take this bad thing and make it something positive. Move it in a different direction. Come up with a different response and not keep the negativity going. It may not change the world. It may not change the world. It may not change anybody, but it certainly would make me and you perhaps more aware that indeed the promise that God has made that I am with you always actually does take place. When we are in the darkest place, and there's no darker place than that, that is when we are most vulnerable to the God who is seeking us. We are most open for something beyond ourselves and our own power and our own intelligence. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about. When you can't handle it, try going back and remembering the promise that I am with you, and you will find somehow a response that will not destroy, but will come out as an act of love. Jesus was not a pacifist, because he certainly challenged us and he challenged the world, but he was a nonviolent person, no question. I think that's what he's calling us to be, to ourselves and to each other. Amen.